Now back to Softy and Dick on your new home for the Huskies. Sports Radio 950, KJR.
You know, Dickie, when it comes to covering college foosball, a lot of guys, a lot of gals are really good at what they do. But I think in some way the Yoda of the college football media world, if you will, the Master Jedi, is joining us right now on the radio show, because nobody does it better than our friend Bruce Feldman. You can find him on Twitter, at Bruce Feldman CFB, from theathletic.com, is with us on the radio show. Bruce, how are you, man? What's going on?
Oh, thanks for an interesting depiction of me, but I appreciate the kind words.
That was the greatest introduction in the history of radio, so just to remember that, pal. All right, you know what? I'll get you a copy. You can show that to your kids, man, one day down the road. Well, let's start at the top. Larry Scott out last night. Dick and I were both a little bit surprised. It happened as fast as it did, pleasantly surprised. Your thoughts on Larry Scott leaving the Pac-12 and who you think their number one target to replace him should be?
Pleasantly surprised. It took him a while to get to this point. In some ways, I'm surprised it took this long, but then again, it's the Pac-12. I'm surprised it actually happened. You know, it, just when you look at it, I mean, there was so much tone deaf, you know, misguided direction in quotes from the Pac-12 leadership, also in quotes, that I just was like, you know, you shrug your shoulders at so many of these things that have happened that it's like, okay, it finally got to this point. And I don't think that's, you know, like, credit to them for finally doing this. I mean, Larry Scott's going to walk away with a lot of money. Who they should get, I mean, the name that came up a lot last night from people I talked to, and I think people, a lot of people I know and trust, think it would be a good alternative, is Oliver Luck. And he was at the XFL. He was the AD at West Virginia, a brilliant guy who has worked at the NCAA, obviously knows something about the Pac-12 from his time, from his son Andrew's time at Stanford. And I think he knows the landscape. He also is well-versed in the TV world enough, I think, to have a feel for what is going to happen for when their TV deal gets put together. So I don't know. I've heard his name, you know, Gene Smith, the Ohio State AD, I've heard his name. They could go in a bunch of different directions. It's just with the Pac-12, you never know. There's always a curveball coming, and it's usually one that you're like, I didn't see that coming, and probably not, and probably for good reason.
Well, whoever it is, I want it to be a person that has a passion to make the conference better. And I read this quote, Bruce, earlier today by Larry, who said, quote, "There really haven't been those opportunities to grow and transform. It really hasn't played to my strengths of interest or passions." I mean, was this just all about him the whole time? Did he even really care all that much about making the conference great?
Yeah, that, I mean, that's a puzzling quote. I mean, it's, I don't know, it's a really blunt quote. It didn't play to my interests or passions. Well, you know, it's not like you were issued the job. This isn't like, you know, like one of the dads wasn't at Little League practice, so I had to get my buddy to fill in. It's like, I mean, you know, this was a lucrative job and in a high profile position, and he did it for a long time. I mean, if it didn't line up, move on and bring somebody else in, because, again, I think a lot of the issues that the Pac-12 struggles with perception-wise, some of them are Larry Scott's fault, but some of the issues are way beyond his control. It's not his fault that USC has been spinning its wheels as a football program. I mean, USC is the flagship program, and if they're not really good, and they are not really good, and they have not been consistently good since Pete Carroll was coaching there, that hurts. I mean, there's no way around that. I mean, if Pete Carroll was still the head coach at USC,
right,
I think a lot of the issues people have with the Pac-12, including, they're losing a lot of the best players on the West Coast, that would nobody be talking about them.
Yeah, I think in some ways, Bruce, and again, Bruce Feldman with us on the show from The Athletic, the bigger question is not who's going to be the commissioner at a Pac-12, but who's going to be the AD at USC. I mean, that's the bigger job because they are the flagship, and you know, whoever that guy or gal is that takes that gig needs that program to be solid. So hopefully Mike Bone can figure it out down there. But Bruce Feldman's with us, and you mentioned Oliver Luck. The first name I threw out there last night was Greg Byrne. I mean, let's face it, he's overseeing the biggest football factory the country has to offer right now and the biggest conference they have to offer. The most successful team. He's been on the West Coast in Tucson at Arizona, but there was some controversy when he was in Tucson. Is Greg Byrne, in your mind, a legitimate candidate for this job?
He would be if he wants it. I know Greg pretty well. Like, I feel like anybody who spent a lot of time covering college athletics probably has a relationship with Greg Byrne because he is extremely media savvy and media aware. And it's not just, you know, as you said, Arizona, but I mean, you know, he grew up in the business. I think he went to ASU. I know he spent a lot of time at both Oregon and then Oregon State. So he's probably as versed in the Pac-12 issues as anybody who is in college athletics.
Yep.
And so in that regard, I think he would make a lot of sense. I just don't know if he wants to be back on the West Coast. You know, everything I heard was, I know he likes, you know, he's very comfortable in small college towns. And, you know, unless they're going to move the Pac-12 office to Corvallis, which would obviously be a lot more cost effective than where it is right now. You know, I don't know. I think he would be a very interesting pick, but I don't know if he really wants it. But he knows the issues in and out about why they have floundered at times and you know, some of those things. But he makes a lot of sense. It's just, I don't know. He's got a big, big, big AD job right now.
Well, Bruce, Dave and I were talking at the beginning of the show about, are the right people making this decision? Should it be more on the athletic directors? They're the ones that have the acumen and the passion to make sports great in the Pac-12. Do the presidents even have that acumen or passion to make sports great in this conference?
I don't think so, because if they did, I don't think they would have kept Larry in the position he was in for so long. I mean, to be blunt, you know, I think there is a much more traditional academic model that the Pac-12 universities lives in that is very different than it is in the SEC. Now, I think what's interesting, and a lot of people can be cynical about this and say, well, the Pac-12 universities are probably, and it's, you know, a little bit of a different academic positioning reputation-wise than their SEC counterparts, Vanderbilt probably notwithstanding. But there's a lot of, really prestigious academic schools in the Big Ten as well. And the Big Ten approaches athletics differently than the Pac-12 has. So I think one of the things that's going to be a challenge here is for the conference to really decide now, what do we want our identity to be in college athletics?
Yeah.
I mean, do we want it to be what USC sees it as, or do we want it to be what maybe UCLA sees it as, or what Stanford? And by the way, those schools are really, you know, great in a lot of sports. But I think, you know, as we're talking, I think for most people, the way they define college athletics is really through the prism of college football. And by the way, that's where almost all the money comes from. So let's see how they want to define themselves with this.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Bruce Feldman, again, is with us on the show. And Bruce, I want to talk to you about Pete Kwiatkowski leaving Washington for Texas. We ran a poll on the show the other day asking Husky fans how big a loss it was to lose Pete Kwiatkowski. 61% of voters said it was a huge loss for Jimmy Lake. Would you agree with that?
I think it's a big loss. Now, I think, you know, look, I have a lot of respect for Pete, especially for what he did when Jimmy Lake was a hot coordinator name or hot assistant coach name and people were coming around trying to get him. And I think it takes a special coach to say, no, for the good of the program, I'm going to take a step back and Jimmy's going to be the defense coordinator and everything that goes with that. And so in 7 years is a long time. Now, I think I think, and this is no knock on Pete, but I think Jimmy Lake is a really good defensive mind, and I think he knows what it looks like in terms of what he wants identity-wise, and I think he is a really good evaluator. I think on that side of the ball, I think they're still going to be really good. Yeah. I think he will recruit and develop really well, and I think you have a terrific D-line coach in Coach Malloy who's been there a long time. I feel like there is enough surrounding where if you told me it was like Pete was going to take the D-line coach too, and then I'd be like, oh, those are going to be big losses. But, you know, I think the challenge for Washington ultimately to go from being good to potentially great is going to happen on the other side of the ball. To me, that's the real thing. You know, they just need to get a lot better there because, you know, I think as long as Jimmy Lake is there, they have an identity where they're going to have really special players in the secondary. And I think with Malloy up front, we see it. They have a bunch of dudes up front. It's just the question is, you know, as good as Pete is, they got to get better on offense.
With Pete and Sark now, is Texas ready to take the step from good to great and be what they should be, the number one program in the Big 12 and top five program in America?
You know, he inherits some really good pieces. I have a story that's going to run, I think, next week about Texas. And the cupboard is definitely not bare at all. It's not what he inherited at UW, whatever it was, 15 years ago. But the thing is, and I don't know the answer to this, and I don't think anybody knows the answer to this, like, as good as Sark was as Nick Saban's offensive coordinator, you know, you got to be better than what Tom Herman was. And, you know, like, they should have been better than they've been the last few years. The question is going to be, you know, like, Sark's never won the conference. I mean, I think he did a good job at Washington, but it wasn't like he was Chris Peterson. So, and then obviously at USC, it imploded. Like, I like the staff he's hired. It's not just, you know, getting Pete from Washington. I mean, Jeff Banks is arguably the best special teams coordinator in the country. He got an O-line coach that just who came with him from Alabama, who put together the best offensive line in the country. I like some of the staff he's put together. I think the ultimate, you know, the question though is, you know, how is Sark going to run the program? I know he's talked all, you know, a lot about this all gas, no breaks motto, yeah. But this team has not been tough enough and physical enough and consistent enough for a long time. Can Sark fix that? I mean, that's the challenge right now. And I don't, you know, it helps to have really good assistants, but ultimately, you know, I think from covering Tom Herman's teams, the challenge is going to be that team stopped buying into Tom Herman. They were over him. They just didn't feel a consistency. You know, can Sark be that guy that they buy in and they want to play hard for? Because if they can't, if they can, then they have a chance. If not, I feel like it's going to be more of the same of 8-4 kind of stuff.
Well, Bruce Feldman with us from The Athletic. Again, follow him on Twitter, at Bruce Feldman, CFB. I got one more for you myself, and I know you did a piece a while back with Jeff Choate, former UW defensive line coach, who's now at Montana State, and I think Jimmy will want to try Bruce and target somebody with NFL experience to be his defensive coordinator, but if not, Jeff Choate, I think with bonuses, is making $300K at Montana State. Would he be a viable candidate as DC in Seattle?
You know, I wondered about that a little bit. Obviously, he was up for the Boise job.
Yep.
And I know people who Jimmy knows well really respect Jeff Choate. I just don't know if there's an alignment. I could see, you know, we've obviously seen guys who were FCS head coaches jump into coordinator jobs at high-profile schools because they think it may give them a better chance of getting a real better head coaching job. I'm curious what Jimmy does. Like, the name that I wondered the first, about, and this was somebody who was a Jimmy Lake protege, who I think is a fantastic position coach, is Gerald Alexander. Yeah. I mean, to me, Gerald Alexander is going to be a hell of a defensive coordinator at some point soon. The question is, does Gerald want to stay in the NFL? Because I know he likes it with the Dolphins. He's done a he does a terrific job. And if that was the guy, and I have no idea if Gerald wants to come back to college, I know he really, really likes it in the NFL. You get that guy, then it's like, that's a wow hire to me. Beyond that, I was like, you know, like Jimmy has a good sense of, you know, because that's what he does. I think, you know, like I said, I wouldn't be worried about who he's going to tap for that, because I think he's going to be involved in it anyway. So I'm curious to see if it's, you know, where he goes for this. Obviously, if Jeff Choate is the guy, you know, I think because Jimmy is now is not a first time head coach in terms of he's already got a season under his belt of running things. I think it's probably a little different than hiring a guy who was a sitting head coach. So I guess the question is, like, what is the relationship? And ultimately, is that something Jeff Choate wants to do now that a job that I think he probably thought he had a real good shot at didn't materialize?
Bruce, why were the title game ratings so bad?
I think it was because the ratings on almost everything sports-wise have been down. I mean, whether it was the NHL finals or the Masters or the NBA finals, I just feel like there's been a lot of fatigue. We're in the middle of a pandemic. You know, it's not, I don't think it's like on people who listen to your show religiously or read what I write. I don't think those people were not tuning in. I think it was like the crossover fans who have a casual interest. I mean, that game turned into a blowout. I think there's certainly a little bit of, or maybe a lot of Alabama fatigue. Have we seen this? But I think it's so much is just, you know, we're in the middle of a pandemic. I feel like this season never had a ton of momentum, you know, in terms of, you know, their games were canceled. If you're a Pac-12 fan, you may not have ever gotten invested into it because your season started like in November. If you're a Big Ten fan, it started October 24th. I mean, so I just feel like it was so disjointed. And I feel like between that and feel like a lot of people, you know, like myself included, you're just kind of worn out. Maybe your kids have been home with you or, you know, for a while and you feel cooped up and you're just, I don't know. I think there's probably a dozen reasons why the ratings were in the toilet. But like I said, the ratings are in the toilet for a lot of things now.
When you say people who listen to our show religiously, you mean like our parents? Is that what you're talking about?
I think there's a whole lot of people who listen to
it. Well, when you find them, let us know. Bruce, you're the man, and I mean that. Thank you for always giving us time. We know you're busy. Keep up the great work. At Bruce Feldman, CFB, and with The Athletic. Awesome stuff, man, and we'll talk down the road, man. Thank you, pal.
I appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
See you, man. Bruce Feldman with us on the radio show. And I was just thinking about how we had that conversation earlier in the year, well, now last year, but over the offseason, about is it better for the Pac-12 to push this thing back to the spring of 2021, which would be in a couple of months from now, obviously. Mm-hmm. The Big Sky is, I think, going to get their season going. And if they had said, let's say in September, or was it July when they kicked it to 2021 to January? Whenever that first announcement came out, right? Whenever the first announcement came out, if they had stuck with that and said, you know what, we're going to revisit this in January, which would be about now, a couple weeks ago, I don't know if they would have continued with spring ball. I mean, with the way things are going in Arizona and California right now, I don't know if there would have been assurances of anything. I mean, they may have kicked it. They may have kicked it to the spring and then gotten to this point and said, well, look at what's going on. Yeah, we have vaccines, but Arizona's a mess. California's a mess. Washington is still shut down, blah, blah, blah. We're going to blow up the whole thing. So I guess my point is I'm happy we got the four games and that other teams got a few more. But really, the mistake was to not kick it off in September.
Exactly.
Before things got really bad. And then they could have had their 8 or 9 game season.
Yes. And I was one that wanted it in the spring, but you're exactly right. I mean, we certainly wouldn't have had any very much lead up. I mean, we probably would have been pushed back to as far as March, but you're exactly right. You just needed to do what everybody else was doing, but they were waiting on that testing. Well, you know, you waited on the testing, but you had so much contact tracing, you had so many games canceled anyway. It would just been much better to start in September, where the virus was much, much less than it was in November and December.
Well, let's get to what we see coming this weekend as well in the AFC and NFC Championship game. I asked Mike the question about Chad Henne. I asked Kevin Harlan the question, which is basically this. If Patrick Mahomes doesn't play, is there any way the Chiefs can win this game on Sunday? We'll chat about that next on Softy and